I'd like you to thank you for the introduction and thank everyone for being here at this late hour. I'd also like to tell you that this was an interdisciplinary project, so we brought medical students to the Dominican Republic, including Rita Nahar and Kyla Queen, and we brought three nursing students, and we brought Dr. Karen Lynn, who is sitting here in the audience and providing support, moral support here. And Dr. Lynn is the Assistant Dean for Global Health and Associate Professor of Family Medicine and Community Health at Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. And this research was sponsored by the Center for International Advancement and Global Affairs, which provided me with the funding to carry out this research from Rutgers. No relationships to disclose. So I embarked upon this research because what we knew about mental health services in the Dominican Republic dated back to World Health Organization AIMS report from 2005. So, and they had many proposals and legislation to upgrade their mental health services delivery, and so I wanted to see what had happened with that. Less than, according to this report, less than 0.4% of the DR healthcare budget goes to mental health services, and 50% of these resources support Padre Bellini, which is the only inpatient psychiatric facility in the country. And Padre Bellini is in a terrible state of disrepair, and so that's a picture of it right there. I didn't really want our students taking photos, but it hadn't changed much, so that's quite current. Out of 35 World Bank comparator countries in terms of mental health expenditures, the Dominican Republic ranks 34th. Nevertheless, it's considered to be a high middle-income country. So we felt, among the people I interviewed, that stigma was an underlying reason for the scarce resources allocated to mental illness compared to other chronic diseases which are managed and treated within the country. So the methods for this research were to conduct focus groups in five sections of the country, mostly municipal hospitals in Bonal, La Vega, a psychiatric hospital in Santo Domingo, a private medical clinic in San Cristobal, and a municipal hospital in Yamasá. So represented many regions of the country. The participants were not mental health professionals, except for a few, but were mostly interdisciplinary groups of primary care providers, specialists, nurses, occupational therapists, social workers. And basically, I wanted to assess their attitudes about mental health services delivery. So I asked them what images come to mind when you hear the words mental illness, and then followed with more focused questions pertaining to mental health service needs. And then the participants were allowed to digress and talk about what they wanted to talk about. And then I came back 6 months later and met with the same groups of people to report our analysis and ask if that met with their findings. So the results, I'm going to go through these in the subsequent slides, and for the interest of time, I'll talk about these in the next couple of slides, but five themes were identified. So the first one was, we talked about systems level barriers to care, and basically it did not seem like there was much progress since the WHO AIMS report in terms of resources dedicated to mental health services. So there was still an insufficient budget for mental health services. There were a lack of essential medications, meaning that SSRIs and antipsychotics are considered essential medications. However, they were not readily available. A lack of treatment facilities and a lack of human resources. So the SSRIs and antipsychotics are distributed by census data in each region to the local ministries of mental health and the primary care outpatient treatment facilities, but they were never in quantities sufficient for the population, so they could not be relied on for long-term treatment of serious mental illness. As I mentioned, Padre Bellini is the only public hospital for long-term care. There are 3-day treatment programs. However, they're all within the, I think that's me. I did what I'm not supposed to do. Thank you, Dr. Lynn. but the treatment programs are all in the national district, so there's no day treatment in any other region in the country. And they've all been developed in the last 5 years, so that's an improvement. And there is a rehabilitation component in crisis intervention center in one of those day treatment facilities. There are seven regional crisis intervention centers throughout the country for acute episodes. And most regional provincial hospitals have ambulatory outpatient care. So I wanted to look at the provider level barriers to care because there is a movement to integrate mental health care into the primary care setting. So most of the providers initially were very politically correct about their responses about mental health. So I changed the question to say, well, what images come to mind when you think of somebody with mental illness? And they said, well, they have very strange expressions in their eyes. Even though they can't hurt you, they seem very aggressive. And this was from a pediatrician in Bonao. And another general practitioner in Bonao said, a person that looks bad, is disheveled, unkempt, dirty, scruffy, smelly. And it went on like that. And most of the providers had similar expressions. We also found that there is a lack of knowledge on how to diagnose and treat patients with mental illness in the primary care setting. And one internist in Yamasa said, look, I know that for the general practitioner, it's a slightly uphill battle over the issue, starting with the license to prescribe drugs. One needs a special permission to prescribe psychiatric medications which many general practitioners don't have. It is, I think, the number one reason why general practitioners should refer patients to a psychiatrist. So we took that statement back and interviewed the Minister of Mental Health and said, well, why do they need a special permission? And he said, no, they do not need a special permission. It's just their conception of medications to treat mental illness are controlled substances because they think of it primarily as sleeping pills, which are controlled substances, and you do need special permission to prescribe controlled substances. So there was a general lack of knowledge about what should be prescribed for even depression. So the patient level barriers to care consisted of a lack of resources and no coverage for psychiatric medications, which was prohibitive for most people, except for the very poorest who did have government insurance. And then, of course, the stigma. So even within the outpatient facilities, they said that the psychologists here are dying of hunger, unfortunately, because it's not easy for a poor family that doesn't know much about mental illness to sacrifice the time to go to an appointment with a psychologist. They have to make an appointment, wait for their turn, and repeat the tedious process between appointments when in their mind the person's going to die crazy anyway. So that was from a hospital administrator. So basically, a lot of stigma among patients and their families as well. So then we asked them more broadly, well, what do you think are the major public health issues, mental health issues in this country? And if you had $1 million to put into any issue you really thought would make a difference, what would it be? And overwhelmingly, people talked about interfamilial violence and in particular domestic violence as one of the most serious issues facing Dominican society and one that goes hand in hand with mental illness. And so that was many of them said that, but this particular quote came from the hospital administrator in Bonao. And then what also came up, which, you know, I didn't know the theme of this conference when I wrote this presentation, but what also came up was the social determinants of health and income inequality. So not just low income, but the income inequality as the precursor to mental health issues. And from a very astute gastroenterologist in San Cristobal, he said the basis of mental disorders are strongly dependent on the environment where the person lives, the economics especially. Above all, there is the need to solve basic and fundamental things that people suddenly don't have and can't afford. And when people look around them to the right, to the left, and well, they see other people who are able to do what they can't do, I think we should address that issue. So in summary, the potential solutions identified by the participants was the need for education for providers and the community, the need to integrate treatment into primary care, which is being done by the World Health Organization in a program called MHGAP, and then more importantly, changing society's norms and values to address the contributing factors to mental illness and public health problems. So what they referred to as a breakdown of society's moral compass, or, you know, even compassion within the society for people who are suffering, for prevention of mental illness within families, and for strengthening religious faith as a means of preventing mental illness. And then changing governmental priorities and volition. And the Minister of Mental Health spoke and used the term volition because I asked him, well, does the country really lack resources, or is it a lack of willpower, to pay for mental health services? And his response was that it was a combination of both, but primarily a lack of volition. So I'll end there, and these are some of my references.